Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We are in the studio today, and we are so blessed. My goodness, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Perfect number.
Yay.
In the studio.
So you want me to introduce everybody?
I think I know them.
Okay, good. We'll
see. Catherine's here. Laura is new. Miss Tara, of course. Grant. Janelle's with us. Jessica and myself, Sandy.
Oh my goodness!
Did I miss
you're
anybody?
So good. You're better than I am.
It was a test.
I freeze if you ask me names. I freeze, especially my best friends or my husband, my children. I don't ever remember their names.
Well, I didn't call Tanya right one time too, so Shelly missed me. So yeah. It happens. Well, today we're going to be in John 13:1-17, and Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and such a humble servitude our loving God showed us.
Mm. You know, as I prepared this particular passage, I just was surprised by God. I love how in His Word He always surprises us. And this passage is one that has a lot of great depth and insight, but we could stay very superficial. And so I'm praying that we just can meet where we need to be and we'll see what God gives us. Okay, let's listen to the passage, okay? In John 13, verses 1 through 17, the Bible tells us, okay, it's about the time of Passover, and Jesus knew that it was time for His hour, and it had come. And Scripture tells us that He loved His own who were in the world, and He loved them to the end. Now, it was about the time of supper, and the devil had already put into the heart of Judas what he was to do to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had given Him everything in His hands. It was already in His hands that had come to Him from God, and that He was going to be going back to God. So He got up from supper, laid aside His robe, He took a towel, tied it around himself, and next He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. And then He dried them, and He tied the towel around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked Him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, What I'm doing to you, you don't understand now, but afterward, you're going to understand." "Oh, you will never wash my feet ever," Peter said. And Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part of me." Simon Peter then said, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." One who is bathed doesn't need to have anything else washed except his feet. He is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For He knew who would betray Him, and that's why He said that you are not all clean. Well, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on His robe, He reclined again, and He said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and this is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. I assure you, a slave is no greater than his master, and a messenger no greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." May God honor the telling of His word. I wanted to keep going. I'm like so into it. Oh. All right, we'll go to that next part next time. This time we're going to stay with the 1 through 17. Okay, so this passage is powerful. And so I always start off with this question. As you listen to this biblical narrative, What's the first thing that stands out in your mind in this particular Bible passage?
That it says that Jesus loved them, or to the last, or showed them the full extent of His love. I don't know if that's the first thing that jumps out.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was just noticing at the end when He was talking about a master not, or a servant not being greater than their master. I think that He may have needed to clarify that, because Him washing their feet, they were like, "Whoa. Jesus thinks that I'm better than Him. That's pretty cool." He's like, no. Just so we're clear, this means that you have to do this because I'm still greater than you. So if I do it, then you have to do it too.
That's good.
Yeah, He's always teaching us. Mm. And His example was servitude.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly. I would say it's just really cool to show like how Jesus is a servant and how we are to follow His example through that. But it's also cool at the same time to understand that sometimes we need to allow ourselves to be served, mm-hmm. which is kind of a strange concept. Mm-hmm. But I think that's definitely something that's really important as well.
Okay.
One of the things that I think about is just that the fact that nowadays we see washing people's feet as something that would be like gross and nasty to do and would take like lots of humility to do, but back then it would have taken even more because they walked everywhere and wore like sandals, so their feet were like caked with dirt all the time, so it would take, I mean, like, it was seen as like really humble to like be doing that.
Do you have anything, Jess?
Oh, it just amazes me the audacity of Peter of like, oh, don't just do my feet, do all of me. And it's like, no, that I just need to do your feet. It's not all of you that needs washed. And so, I don't know, he really loves the extremes.
I love it. I so identify with Peter, God help me. I love the fact that each of you in your own way have pulled up some of the truths we're going to cover over the next 4 weeks. These are actually some of the points that we're going to look at, we're going to examine, and see what we can learn from this passage. So we're going to start off with the fact that the Holman New Testament commentary refers to this love without limits. Okay, and that's pulling from what Catherine had said, and that the full extent, and that's in verse 1. It's, you know, it says, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come to part for this from this world, for him to be with the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Some translations will say to the full extent.
Mm, that's what mine says.
Some translations will say to the uttermost. If you take the Greek and look at the Greek, the actual Greek word is istelos, E-I-S-T-E-L-O-S, and it means to the limit. Literally, to the outer limit. And so that's what's preparing. So I want us to have in our mind, Jesus knows his time has come. In less than 24 hours, he's going to die on the cross. He has been looking towards the cross. Mm-hmm. And here he is at dinner with the disciples, and he knows it's at hand. And yet, this is how he chose to spend his last 24 hours. And when you think of, you know, like they say, your last words, your last hours with somebody, what is it that you would want to have happen in your last 24 hours? If you knew you only had 24 hours, what would you want to do?
You know, when you said that, I was thinking about Luella's funeral. You know, what a testimony that she reached out. Karen, it's her birth mother. And so they both reached out because they wanted to know each other knew the Lord. And that's kind of how she ended it on the little thing that she had even written.
Right.
And I think that would be me. I want to make sure my children know the Lord to the full extent.
Yeah, Karen, just so you know, Karen is a good friend of mine and Sandy's, and we were at a funeral this week. Her mother, her birth mom passed away. Mm. But the beauty of the funeral was they told the story of how this birth mom began the process of searching for her child because she wanted to know that she knew Jesus. And her child began searching for her mom because she wanted to know her mom knew Jesus.
Wow.
And
it's a
when they met, how they couldn't stop talking because of what God had done in their lives, you know. It was pretty amazing. And so that's beautiful.
Yeah.
We should be thinking about eternally people's souls. What else?
I think normally what our first reaction is when, you know, we think about, well, you know, my last moments, I want to have my last words, and I want them to be really impactful and, you know, leave some really great last wisdom that people can look at me and be like, wow, she was, you know, so smart. But it's more what we do in the last moments than what we say that leaves an impact on people, how we live those last moments. You know, I'm thinking about Nina Franz, one of the students at Grace that lost her life to a car accident, and the very last thing that she did was swerve the car enough that her brother, who was also in the car, was saved. It was that last moment, that last action that characterized her life. And yeah, it's what we do more than the things we say.
And I think Janelle really hit on that, because this passage is about action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so easy to say you're going to do something. If you don't follow through, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't remember where I have it written down, but I wrote down actions speak louder than
me
words.
Me too. And they do.
Okay, anybody else? Your last, if you knew you had only 24 hours left.
I think even with the words aspect, it's whether it's focused on yourself or focused on others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is the purpose of what you're saying? Kind of like what Janelle was going off of, just is this something that is going to be centered on me and how I'm feeling and how I'm doing? Or is this something that is going to impact other people around me and leave a lasting impact?
I think part of it is also ensure that, like, it's not our legacy that's carried on, but, like, it's the legacy of how Christ was displayed through us and the importance of that. Because I think oftentimes, like, oh, we want to go and do the last fun thing. We want to go skydiving or do this or do that. But, like, I'm kind of, like, bringing some of the stuff together is, like, making sure that, like, it's Christ ultimately that's put on display in our life, because that's why we're here, and we're not going to be thinking in heaven, oh, well, I'm so glad that the last thing I did was skydive, but at the same time, like, rejoicing in the fact that we were able to put Christ on display with our life.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well said.
Catherine, come closer if you're going to speak.
I would say probably be with my family, and I don't know, kind of like what you guys said, make sure that they've seen Jesus and his love to the full extent like that. And
I was going to say, off of what Laura said with in our last moments, really showing like Christ's glory and not our own, because if you think about it, like, you know, the average person, if in their last moments they're going to want to focus on themselves and have fun and things like that. But, you know, that's what really Jesus is showing us in this passage, that like he knows that this is his last 24 hours and he is focusing it on the Father and like and just really giving him glory through it. So like that's an example for us and how we should live.
I love everything that you guys have said. If I don't over spiritualize what I'm going to say, what I would say in my person, I wouldn't say in my flesh, because I'm not talking sinful nature, I'm just talking out of my heart. And I think it would be, I want to be present, and I'd want to be touching. Like, I would find ways to, you know, rub Greg's back or hold my children's hands or put my arm around them, touch the people I love. I would find ways to have physical ways of letting them know I love them and I'm here now. I think that's probably what would come out of me, and that, because that's really key to me. It's one of my key ways of letting people know I love, is I'm constantly hugging and touching and everything. So I think that's probably my personhood outside of the spiritual, of trying to keep my eyes on Jesus. Because there's many different things that could happen. I mean, if we knew the hour, you know, for a lot of people that has to do with it, they're on their deathbed and it's physical pain. And so there's not a whole lot you can say or really do. But it would be more like if we were just given the gift of knowing we only had 24 hours left. And so I think I would just physically be present with the people, you know, and letting them feel and know my presence. Mm-hmm. And when I asked that question of myself, I thought, that's really what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how that is, a lot of people will not allow somebody to touch their feet for many different reasons. We have foot phobias, the grossness of it, toe jam. I mean, you name it, people are all different realms when it comes to feet. They won't let it happen. And yet he was willing to touch.
This is just their feet. Funny story. Faith Marion, my little granddaughter, she's 10 now. When my husband was still alive and he was very ill, she would take her blankie and put it around his feet and kiss his feet. And Kim and I were kind of like, ooh, you know. But that's how she loved him.
How old was she then?
Well, she was 5 when he passed away, so I think she was about 3. She wasn't very old. Now she wouldn't probably do it.
There's just something precious about that.
It is.
There is just something precious, and that the thought of it being to the full extent. And so what does the full extent of love look like? To be where we love somebody to the full extent, without limit, our uttermost, and asking that question of ourselves, what that might look like. Because if I am going to love somebody to the full extent, to the outermost, I have to be present. Mm-hmm. It's going to include touch. It will include words. It will direct them to Jesus. It won't be about me. It will be about them. And so all of the things that we just expressed gives the fullness of what that might look like, right?
Right. But, you know, and even Jesus, you know, when he knew that Judas was going to betray him, he still loved him through that. And it's hard for, I'm confessing, sometimes when I have somebody difficult in my life, it's really hard for me. I had to pray a lot, I'll tell you, to get past that flesh wanting to come out and say things I shouldn't say.
I am so with you, and being able to pray that I love somebody mm-hmm. that I don't feel mm-hmm. loved by,
hard.
That makes it a lot harder. making sure that my mouth doesn't speak like Peter when it shouldn't. We'll look at that later. A lot of conviction there. But loving somebody that's even an enemy, somebody that we know is about to betray us, mm-hmm. or somebody that has already betrayed us, yeah. and nobody else in the group may know that betrayal has occurred, and to be able to interact with that person in love, to where nobody in the room even knows that that betrayer is at hand, that's huge.
That's hard. I've had that.
That's huge. And so I'm not there yet.
I'm not either. I think I am 1 minute, and then we get together again. It's like, oops, it's still back.
I don't even know that I could ever say I've gotten there. All I know is that when I started looking at this, and because what I've been praying, I ask all of our RAs, RDs, to give us a word for the year that they're praying into for the year. And so I have, my word has been that I be loving. I'm really asking God to get that. You know, you have to go through seasons where you have to re-ask it. And that's my prayer for this year. And I thought, God, how fun that you would bring this to my mind right before we go into the year. And so I guess I want to put the challenge out there. Ask God about your love. What does your love look like? Mm-hmm. And when you guys think on the full extent of your love, what do you think that should look like? Let's be practical. We have about a minute and a half left, so we have to be quick.
It needs to be selfless. It needs to be something that is not focused on myself and my needs. And I think so much of my day is focused on me and not on other people. Mm-hmm. And that's not really loving.
Yeah, that's good. Hard. Jess, I'm convicted. Okay.
I think the greatest displays of love are when it's the hardest. I mean, like you were saying, Jesus was in the room with someone he knew who would betray him to death. That's not an easy or light situation, but him washing the disciples' feet is known as one of the greatest acts of service and love. Mm-hmm. Your love shines the most in the difficult situations.
That's true.
He washed Judas's feet too.
Yeah.
Yes. I would say it's paying, I don't know, for me it's paying attention to the little things that people maybe don't pay attention to, like the little needs, and trying to fulfill those, because sometimes it's the little things that make the difference.
Absolutely.
Those are good.
I mean, like, it's really hard to just sort of even imagine love to the fullest extent. I just guess the best way to see that is, like, imagine you yourself feeling love to the fullest extent. So, I mean, like, how would that feel to you, and then try to be that to others?
That's good. Well, we're glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. Come back for more on how to love in the full extent.